First John. It's amazing to read the Bible over and over and over, verse of scriptures over and over and over again, and then you see something you never seen before in that verse of scripture. That's the Holy Spirit saying, you know, you ain't got sense contained all at one time. I'm just going to let you have a little bit at a time, because we don't have mind enough to comprehend the Word of God. But thank you, Lord, anyway. So I've seen some things I never seen in verse of scriptures, not but three of them, but they's loaded and they're packed with the power. Chapter 3, verses 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. It keeps getting better. Every day with Jesus is a better than the day before. Just keeps getting sweeter and sweeter and better and better. It really gets better when I tell you in the Word of God, John, 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, 2, and 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purify himself, even as he is pure. Father, we want to thank you, God, today, just for being God and loving us the way you do. Even though we're just made out of clay, and Father, you know us, and Father, that great love that we can't even understand, that you know us and still love us. Oh, how we thank you for that and the blessings of knowing you. Of each day, that we might be able to smile, because, Lord, you smile upon us. Even though we go down in the valley, Father, you're with us. And, Father, you bring us back up on the mountain, on the top of the hill, that, Lord, that we might see that light again. So thank you, Lord, this day for being with us in a very special way. And we pray this night for the understanding of each and every one of us here today, for the Holy Spirit of God, through the power of thy word, be open to us, God, that we might see Jesus Christ clearer today than we ever before, because each day gets better and better. And we thank you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, that's what this book is all about. You know, it just keeps better and better, and it's to us a sweet, sweet fellowship that we have now. Not out there in the future, not when we die and go to heaven, but right now the heavens come to us. You know, it's sad that everybody don't enjoy life. But Jesus Christ said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. We need to understand that he was talking to people that was already walking around, breathing air. But he says that you may have life and have it more abundantly. You know, a rich man is poor without Jesus Christ. And a strong man is weak without Jesus Christ. An educated man is ignorant without Jesus Christ if they don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. What hope do we have? Ernest Hemingway, he was a very, very brilliant man. Most of you read about him. He's a very gifted man. But you know, he took his own life. I mean, he committed suicide. But he wrote to the people of the earth, and he quoted, he says, we're all like a colony of ants on the end of a burning log without no hope. He didn't know Jesus. And that's the way he viewed life of all mankind. Can you picture that? A bunch of ants out on the end of a burning log. They have no hope. And that's the way he viewed human beings. Without Jesus Christ, that's without no hope. But without Jesus Christ, we do not know why we're here. And really, being here to him, it made no sense. And a lot of people, it makes no sense because they do not know Jesus Christ. But you see, I have Jesus Christ. And I have the Word of God. And I have the Spirit of God. And it all makes sense to me. It all makes sense with what we have. Because someone like him, people don't know the Lord. I'm going to tell you, they're ignorant of their past. They don't know why they're here, where they come from. And they're afraid of the future. And they're divided between a mystery and misery of lost people. I cannot understand why our church is not full of people. Because so many people say they're saved. I do not understand that. It says in verse 1 again, what manner of love? What manner of love? And it's talking about what manner of love, and that's a very special word, it says, because It says this type of love that you have loved us, it's not from this planet. In other words, it's out of this world type of love, an unknown quality of love, this love, undescribable. Why? Because we don't have anything compared God's love to. There's nothing that you can describe it with because you can't compare it to anything because it's out of this world type of love. So maybe in these verses of scriptures, it will grip our heart and we understand it's not we're going to be called the Son of God. It says we are the sons and daughter of God now. So let that sink in just a minute. Right now, you are the sons of God. I am a child of God. You are a child of the King, Prince Darrell. Prince Darrell, Prince Orville. All of us are prince because we are a child of the King. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10, 11, and 12. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons into glory to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. For both he that sanctified, that's Jesus, and they who are sanctified, that's us, are all of one. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my children, my brethren, in the midst of the church will I sing praises unto thee. You are ashamed of Jesus Christ, but I can tell you what, he is not ashamed of you. Because we are partakers of the divine nature, we are blood brothers of Jesus Christ. He took my human nature on the cross of Calvary, and I took his divine nature when I was born again. I am next kin to the Holy Trinity. You are kin to the Holy Trinity. Verse 11 of Hebrews that I read, it says, are all of one. Every one of us, we are in the Holy Trinity because we are in Jesus Christ. Understand that. We are all of one. That's what the Bible says, and kind of let that sink in. The Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Let this sink in. We cannot divide those three. We have one God. There's three ministries, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But we cannot separate them because they are all in one. I never seen this before, but John 17 clears this up for us. In the Gospel of John 17, 21 and on, it says, that they may all be one. As thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou have loved me. You cannot separate the Trinity, but it says in them verses of scriptures, you and I, we are in the Trinity, are one. As you think about how much did God love Jesus Christ, his Son? Does he love Jesus Christ more than he loves you? According to these scriptures, I cannot understand this. I cannot comprehend this. But the scripture says he loves you just as much as he loved Jesus Christ, his Son. Can you imagine that? Can you comprehend that? I can't. But that's what the Word of God says. We are one in Jesus, in the Holy Trinity. If we one in Jesus Christ, he loves his Son. That means he loves us just as much as he loved his Son. I cannot comprehend that. Romans 8 and 29 says, for whom he did foreknow, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. It took me a while to understand that. The firstborn among many brothers. Jesus Christ was the firstborn, it says, among many brethren. But then it was plain to me that what he was talking about, that we're in Jesus Christ. He was the firstborn of many brethren, sisters. We're all in Jesus Christ. And then it says, Romans 8 and 15, that same chapter, for we have not received the spirit of bondage again unto fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. That we're in one, that we can call him Father, Abba, Father. The Father's care. Daddy. Daddy. You know, my three sons, I like for them to call me Daddy. Don't you daddies don't like for your kids to call you Daddy? I mean, that's a special meaning, Daddy. Because Daddy cares for his children. Daddy cares for his children. Now, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 26 says, behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, neither gather into the barn, yet their heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not more better than they? What farmer would feed his chickens, this verse says, and let his children starve? That's what that verse says. What father would go feed his chickens and let his children starve? Ye are better than the fowls of the air, and your Father takes care of the fowls of the air. They neither labor nor their toil, because you see, God takes care of them. Daddy. See, Daddy, in that word Father, we're obligated to take care of our children, regardless of what this United States of America says, that the government, the Democratic Party says, you know, this government should take care of your children. But I'm telling you what God says, you daddies, you take care of your children. You're obligated to do that. Whether you like it or not, you're obligated as a daddy. Well, God the Father is obligated to take care of you, because you're sons. He's obligated to take care of you. You say, well, if he's obligated to take care of me, how come I don't have more money in the bank than what I have? Well, I don't need it or I'd have it. He said he'd take care of my need, didn't he? I don't have it, but I got the Father. He owns the bank. So, now, which of you then would rather have the Big Z warehouse full of bread, or for your daddy to own a bakery? That warehouse is pretty good size, you know it. As you'd rather have that warehouse full of bread or your father owning a bakery. You see, that old bread would get stale, would it not? Stale bread, not very good. But you see, every day, fresh baked bread out of the oven, it's good, isn't it? I'm telling you, it is good, fresh baked bread. You know what? And this just brings me to the verse of scriptures. It just brings a light on it. Because the Bible is the great commentary of its own self. It says, Father, give us this day our daily bread. Not a warehouse full. It's going to get stale. But Father, give us our daily bread. Because a father cares for his children. Behold, what manner of love that the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. But also the Father's correction. Why do we have trouble? Well, sometimes because God loves us. Now, that's hard to understand. Sometimes, you know what? God engineers some trouble just for us and some difficulties. Now, I know that's going to knock Osteen out of his pulpit there out there in Texas somewhere. Because, you know, God, he's my, I want everybody to be good. God wants everybody to be good. You know, they're going to take care of everybody. But I'm saying he'll engineer some problems for you. Did you know that? Sometimes he will. This health and wealth religion. Hebrews 12, 5, 6, and 7 says, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scorneth every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? I don't like to be spanked, but I tell you what, the Lord knows how to do it. My son David, when he was little, the oldest of the three, we let him get outside when he was about 2 years old or three, and just play in the mud all he wanted to, and just got mud from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet, just muddy all over, and he wanted to come back in the house. You know what? His daddy rejected him. I took a garden hose and I just washed him off outside. I didn't reject my son, but I rejected the dirt and the mud. Do you know sometime God will have to hose us off? I guarantee you, he'll have to hose us off sometimes. And he knows how to do it. But he cares for us and he corrects us. But you know, the Father's compassion. I think of how much that I love my children, and you know how much that you love your children. You ever have some of your kids, I know that you have, and go through maybe in the hospital and some surgery or some deep problem, and you say, boy, if I could take their place, I would do it in a second. I would take their place in a moment if I could just take their place. I'd rather for it to be me and them. Did you know my Heavenly Father did take my place? He's called Calvary. It's called Calvary. He did take my place. And also, you know, when he took my place, you know, he knows when our heart's broken. And you say you can always talk to him. Now, you know, you talk to him as judge, which he is, but you're not really talking to him as judge. You can talk to him as a ruler, and he is a ruler, but you don't talk to him as a ruler. You talk to him as king, which he is King of Kings. Do you know what you talk to him with? Talk to him as father, daddy. Because the Father's compassion, the Father's companionship, he's a great companionship. He says, I'll never alone. My Father will never leave me. And he's never too busy to talk to me. He's never too busy. You think about the millions of people in the world, and he's never too busy to talk to everybody one time. You know, you can't understand God. You know, the telephone will ring sometimes, and I know that you have had that telephone ring sometimes, and you know, you really didn't want to answer it, and you're scared not to. You know, you didn't feel like talking to Bonnie and it rung, and you didn't really want to answer, but you're scared not to answer. Hello? And then on the other end, they say, Daddy. Do you know that changes everything when that happens? That changes everything when that happens. It makes all the difference in the world. First, again, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Never alone. Hospital, surgery. If I could just remember this, I said, you know, I'm good about telling other people, you know, don't worry when you're on that hospital bed. It's different when it's on you. Y'all know that? You're going through something that's different. But, you know, I tell them, and I know this is true, going through the hospital and going through some surgery, no matter how serious it is, that God don't have no more problem taking care of you through that surgery than while you're snoring at night on your own soft bed. He don't have a bit more problem. You wake up in the morning, you know, you slept through the night, all of us slept through the night, you know, you snoring away, you don't know what happened outside, God's taking care of you all through the night. Well, he take care just as good while you're on the hospital bed as while you're snoring in your own bed at night. How come we can't remember this? How come we don't have this? That is companionship. You know, I always felt better whenever a child that had to go off. My dad went off at work a lot of times, and we live here and some back into the Florida and all. He's always gone a lot of time. But you know, whenever I was a child at home, I always felt safer when my dad was at home. I always felt safer when dad was in the house. I read where the Indians, and they used to, when a boy got old enough to come as a young man, they'd go out and they would take the boy out in the woods and draw a big circle and put him in the middle of it and said, now you stay here all night long, and they'd leave that boy out there at night in that circle all night long by himself, and they'd give him a little small knife to defend himself and protect himself, and the little boy would just stand in that circle all night long, and the darkness would fall. You remember how you used to get scared when you was little, when the darkness would fall and the old wild animals and the owls would hoot and all the screeching out there at night, and he'd stand there until, you know, he just got exhausted. And he'd just crumble down, and he'd just lay down. He'd go to sleep right inside that circle. And when he wake up the next morning, he see his dad there standing right outside the circle. When the sun come up, and he could see the daddy be right outside the circle with his bow and arrow ready drawn, because his daddy was there all night to protect him. He just didn't know it. And you know, your Heavenly Father, although that you're going through some problems, difficult, he's just outside that circle with a draw bow ready to protect you with anything that comes along in your life. He began to be a manhood at that time. Remember our dignity, what we are. But our destiny, what we will be. Verse 2 of this same chapter of John. Beloved, now are we sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Some things we don't know. I thought about this. And there's some things we don't supposed to know. You need to read Deuteronomy 29:29. Go home and read that. There's some things that we don't know. Did you know a five-year-old child can ask the preacher things that he can't answer? And you too? A child that young can ask you some things that you can't answer, and ain't nobody answering but God. What are we going to be like when we get to heaven? You got a young person that passed away, maybe in the middle age or whatever they might be. What are they going to look like? Maybe they 15, 10 years old, whatever age they are, and they're young, and they going to be with the Lord. What are they going to look like? Are they going to be grown? What are they going to look like? We don't know. What we're going to eat when we get to heaven? I don't know. There's some things that kept from us on purpose that we don't know. You know, Paul said he was called up to the third heaven and showed some things, you know, that undescribable, unspeakable. And in the book of Daniel, he says, you know, seal up this prophecy. There's some things that we don't have to know. Oh, Will Rogers, y'all remember Will Rogers? Men don't know their ignorance by not knowing as much as they do by knowing so much about what ain't so. Verse 2, beloved, now are we the sons of God, it is not yet what here we shall be, but when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. This gets real good to me. Things that we do know. Things that we do know, that Christ is going to appear. Y'all know that? Now, I do know that. Kind of like in two scenes. The scene whenever he is here on this earth, from Bethlehem to the cross of Calvary, the first scene, and then you go back to heaven. But now, you know, the second scene opened up, and you know what? He is going to appear the second time in the second scene. We can go on and on with that, but I'll quit with that. But we're going to see him. We're going to see him. Verse 2, we shall see him as he is. Now, it didn't say we're going to see him as he was, walking the dusty shores of Galilee, or wearing a crown of thorns on the cross of Calvary, as he is now. John 17:5 says, and now, O Father, glorify thou me with thy own self, with the glory which I had thee with thee before the world was, before the planets, before the sun, before the stars ever began to shine. Jesus Christ was with the Father. Jesus came from glory, he came with glory, and he's going back to glory. He's going to come again with glory. He's coming back with glory. In Gospel of John 17:24, again it says, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundations of the world. Heaven, behold the glory of Jesus Christ. We know that we're going to see him. We're going to be like him. I know that. Verse 2 again, as it says, we shall be like him. It says we shall see him. Those two goes together. We shall be like him. We shall see him together there. Now, if you seen Jesus Christ right now, you would disintegrate. You would disintegrate. Without being transformed, you could not look upon him. Have you ever heard anybody say that I seen Jesus? He appeared to me in the room, or he had experience, and you seen Jesus Christ? If they had, they would not be here. They would be disintegrated. You could not see Jesus Christ in the bodies which we live in right now. You could not look upon him in these bodies. 1 Timothy 6:14 that thou keepest this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he is, his time shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate of King of kings and Lord of lords, who only have immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach, that no man can approach, unto whom no man have seen, no man have seen. In these bodies, no man. That takes the case of a lot of people experience. They've seen Jesus according to the word of God, nor can see. That's the word of God. 1 Timothy 6:16, no man have seen, no man can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Read your Bible. We have sent a man to the moon. I believe that. But I'll tell you, we'll never send a man to the sun. We'll never send a man to the sun. Because that 1 Timothy 6:16 says, listen to this. We have to be like him to see him as he is. Get that down. We got to be like Jesus to see him as he is. It says in 1 John, we shall see him as he is, but we first got to be like Jesus to see him as he is. Because the Word of God says you cannot look on him, never have, will, never will be able to look on him. No man have or nor will have ever looked at Jesus Christ in his glory. In his glory. Our duty. Our duty now, looking for his coming. Absolute certainty. Fathers used to discipline their youngins. Did y'all know that? Sometimes you may not believe this, but I disbehave, and sometimes my mother and daddy carry us off somewhere, and I disbehave. I know you don't believe that, but it's true. Sometimes my daddy would promise me when I get home, and you know what? That was a certainty. I wasn't looking forward to it, but that was a certainty. When he said he's going to do something, that was a certainty. Jesus Christ, Daddy said, I'm coming back, and I'm going to tell you what, that is a certainty. Looking for his coming, but you see, longing for his coming. In verse 3 it says, and every man hath this hope is purified himself, even as he is pure. In 1 John 2:28, also tells us, now little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we shall have confidence and be not ashamed for him at his coming. Now, what if Jesus Christ came back right now? Would you have anything that you want to get straightened out? Would anything you'd have to do? 2 Corinthians 7:1 tells us, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filth and of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Fear of God. You know, I always heard a lot of times that maybe young boys or young girls go out on the town, you know, and I heard about a young boy that was going out on the town and said, let's go by and get us some beer. And nowadays, probably something a little heavier than that, but let's go get us some beer. And one boy says, no, I don't want to do that. They said, why, are you scared your daddy hurt you? He said, no, I'm scared I'll hurt my daddy. You see, that's what Jesus Christ says, that we longing for his coming. We're longing for his coming. And looking and longing for it and loving his coming. For me to live, Paul says, is Christ, and to die is gain. I don't know if many of you knew. I know Brother Darrell, Brother Marshall, and several of you remember R.G. Lee, the pastor of Bellevue Baptist Church in Memphis, Tennessee, for several years. A great, great man of God. Pastored that church for a long time, and he told this many times at his church. When he was a small boy, out on the farm, and his mother was out on the porch, and you know, doing or didn't, whatever she was doing. And he says, Mother, what's the happiest day that you ever had in your life, the happiest day that you can ever remember? Now, R.G. Lee said, and I expected her to say, well, when your dad maybe opposed me and told me he loved me. But she didn't say that. He said, well, I was thinking maybe after that, he said, maybe whenever Daddy said that we're going to get married, and opposed to her, and they got married and took their vows. But she said, no, they was out on that old farm. It was, you know, like some old farms around here, you know, you could hardly raise an umbrella, much less a mortgage. And the third thing, you say, maybe he thought that she might say, well, they stayed together for 50 years of their marriage, and he might have said that, you know, that we stayed together 50 years might have been the happiest days of her life. But she said, no, son, the happiest days of my life, or the happiest day of my life, but we lived in the Civil War day, and he's talking to his mother, which he's an old man. He's talking to his mother, and she was a little child, a little girl. And she said, we lived through the Civil War days, and I was just a little girl. And all the men went off to the war in the Civil War days, but the women, they had to stay home and work the farms. Whether you realize or not, that's about the only thing that was through the country. The United States was farm. I mean, lived on a farm. And the women had to work with other women out in the field. And she said they had very little to get by with. And she said, we got salt. Now, most of you don't know what this is. We got salt from the smokehouse floor where because they take the dirt and wash it, and they get salt water from the dirt from the smokehouse floor. and they drunk sassafras tea. And she said, what they call coffee, they take parched corn and make coffee out of it. And she said she heard her mother when she was little lay awake at night and just, you know, cry because she missed her father, Mr. Bennett, that had been killed in the war, in the Civil War. And R.G. Lee said his mother, you know, would cry at night and sob, not know how in the world that they're going to make it, being that, you know, the breadwinner was gone, the father was gone, went off the war. And she said, son, you ask me now, what was the happiest day of my life whenever I was a little child? I was small. And she said, I heard that my father, Mr. Bennett, had been killed in the Civil War. And my mother, which was your grandmother, was on the porch shelling peas one day. And she saw a man walking across the field down the edge of the branch where the old road twisted around and come up. Everybody was old dirt road. And she saw a man coming. And she says, Elizabeth, that looks like your daddy. She says, now, Mama, you know that daddy's gone. I know you can get excited now. They let you know that he was killed in the war. And that man began to cross little cotton patches they had there in front of the house. And she says, Mother, what you doing? She was shelling beans, and she threw them beans in there. And she says, Elizabeth, that's your daddy. And she ran across the field. And that was her daddy. And he stood there as she ran to meet him. He had an empty sleeve where he lost one of his arms. And she said, I reached down, and as my mother was there, and he pulled her to himself and hugged his mother. And that little girl, she said, I can remember very easy that I run up there, and I just hugged around his knees, and I reached up there, and I felt his arm where it had been cut off, just a nub is the only thing he had. And she says, Daddy, I love you. And they was together again for a little while. And he said, R.G., you asked me what was the happiest day of my life. Return of your father from the war that said that he had been dead. And that was the happiest day of my life. But she said, you know, even that will be pale, insignificant to the day when I see Jesus. The one that opened up the door of grace will open up the door of glory when we shall see him. When we shall see him. We shall be like him, or we could not see him. But we shall be, when he shall appear, be like him, Brother Barry. Thank you, Lord, today. Thank you for these three verses of Scripture.